Hey, wonderful listeners, I've got some very exciting news for all of you who are ready to take your brand to the next level. I'm hosting a brand story bootcamp on February 26th at 6 p.m. London time. In this 90-minute live workshop, we'll dive deep into how to create a brand story that truly resonates with your audience, boosts your impact, and opens the doors to greater opportunities. Grab your spot now, spaces are limited. Check the link in the show notes to secure your place, and hopefully see you there. Hello and welcome to the Smart Beauty Podcast. I'm your host, Viola Levy, beauty journalist and founder of copy-led branding agency, Smart Beauty Creative. We're here to create your brand voice and craft the story behind it. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by the brilliant Azzy Glasser. She is a true icon in the fragrance world, known for crafting scents for Hollywood's elite. Her little black book of clients is pretty impressive, to say the least. But Azzy's work isn't just about luxury. It's about storytelling, artistry, and bringing characters to life in the most enchanting way. In this episode, Azzy shares how she began her incredible career over 30 years ago, from working behind the scenes at a British perfume house to creating her first fragrance, Agent Provocateur, in 1999. We delve into how the evolution of fragrance trends in the 80s and 90s shaped her approach and hear about her experiences creating bespoke scents for stars like Helena Bonham Carter, Jude Law and Austin Butler. Azzy also offers fascinating insights into the emotional power of scent, its connection to personal expression and how it can transform not only the wearer but also the characters they portray. Plus, we revisit her thoughts on fragrance as a feminist tool, a topic she explored during a panel I hosted recently. Whether you're a perfume enthusiast or just curious about the artistry behind signature scents, you won't want to miss this captivating conversation. Hope you enjoy it. Well, thank you so much, Azzy, for joining me. Really lovely to have you on the podcast. And for those who don't know, obviously you create fragrances for Hollywood's elite. Pretty much the who's who of Hollywood is kind of your client roster. So it would be great to hear about what initially drew you to the world of fragrance and how you kind of got into sort of doing what you do, because I imagine that people would sort of see your work and consider it kind of the pinnacle, the dream job. So how did that all come about?
Oh, well, thank you so much, Viola, for inviting me to your show. I mean, we've known each other for years, and it was so nice bumping into you at the British Beauty Council event the other night as well. And then just kind of proved, I thought, my God, it's 30 years on, 3 decades is long enough. So what happens when you get this old, you can't remember. I mean, I have had a lot of, you know, a long career, I suppose. I still think it's early days, but it's been an interesting one. I've been in the industry for now over 30 years, as you know. And I started off actually working with a British perfume house behind the scenes until it was in 1999 when I launched my first fragrance, which was Agent Provocateur. And I have to say, having gone through the decade of the 90s and the 80s before that, the 80s, you know, perfume had changed so much in the 90s that, you know, the trend in the 80s was very much kind of powerful fragrances like Obsession and Poison and
Yeah, exactly.
Almost like perfumes walking through the door before you did. and then out pops the 90s, which was almost like kind of the day after the night before, where everything was like calm and, you know, the colours had gone to beiges and light tones and everyone was sort of cocooning and doing yoga and all sorts. And the fragrances kind of reflected that. It was that time of doing light, watery scents. And I think for me, having, you know, and they didn't really last that long either, but everything looked the same, smelt the same. It was too much of a craze of this sort of ozonic feel.
Yeah.
So when I launched Agent Provocateur, I just thought, well, it's not really about the trends for me. For me, when I'm creating a fragrance, it's very much about bringing their story to life. And Agent Provocateur is a very provocative, sensual, female, sexy brand. And the fragrance itself was, I bought back the Chypre. So it was that sort of, it's quite powerful fragrance, but also very sophisticated, rich. And it, rather than walking through the door before you did, it left the trail behind, which
Yeah.
is kind of reminds you of my mother and father used to go out in the 70s. And I remember thinking, oh God, one day I might own a bottle of perfume that smells like my mother because it smelled so rich and expensive.
I could imagine they were both very glamorous people, sort of given the nature of your work.
Yes, they were.
Relationship with inspiration.
They were. I used to always watch them getting ready, and my friend, actually, he had a roster of fragrances. He loved them. So, in fact, my Mr. Vetiver that I've got in my collection today is taken after my dad because he was a big fan of Guerlain Vetiver, and then they changed the formula. So I kind of wanted to bring that really kind of sexy Vetiver note back, and it's actually one of the best sellers. A lot of Jude Law, etc., wear it. A lot of the actors,
Yeah.
but yes, it's
So how
they're
did
great
you,
inspirations.
amazing. And how did you come to start scenting the great and the good of Hollywood? Like, how did all of that
So,
come about?
I mean, I suppose actually, weird enough, my first bespoke fragrance was actually for Kylie Minogue, and I got a call one day where her management company said Kylie would love to invite you over for dinner, and in those days there was only really one Kylie around. There was
Yeah,
an
as
old,
you do. That's like
even though I did say what Minogue, and they went yes, and I was like, well, wow, yeah. And it was actually, she said, can you come on Sunday? And it was actually Mother's Day. It was my first mothering year, because my son was one at the time. And I remember my husband saying to me, well, I don't think he's going to remember Mother's Day, so I think you should go for dinner at
yeah.
Kylie's. Off you go. And it was because she was a big fan of the fragrance that I created, Agent Provocateur, but I actually did a bespoke for her house. And also it was for, I don't know if you remember the V&A exhibition they did on Kylie. It
Yes,
was
I
like
went to it. Yeah.
yeah, and so I did the two Kylie scents for that exhibition.
Oh my
So
God.
that's kind of where it started. But then I suppose really after that, from that to then the school gate was when I met Helena Bonham Carter, because both of our sons joined the first big school at five together. And as she came around for a play date one time, picking up Billy, and they were still playing away. So she came into my studio, and she actually didn't, after being at the school, she didn't even know what I did. I hadn't told her what I did. We didn't really chat about it. She went, are you in perfume? I mean, when you come to my place, you were sort of bottles everywhere. And I was like, she goes, oh my God. She goes, your house reminds me of my house, because it's like little, things everywhere and kind of vintagey. And then she started talking about her film that she was doing, which was her playing Enid Blyton. And she goes, what do you think Enid would wear? And I said, well, it was like 30s, 40s, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, she probably would have had two perfumes because she was quite rich and could afford it. And she was telling me a bit about the character and everything else. So I actually had a few little things like around, some notes and accords, and I showed her. She went, oh my God, this is amazing. One was like French powder, and the other one was like a violet note, which had come out at that time, so like a green violet note. And she wore them, and from then really I ended up working on lots of Helena's films, from Bellatrix to Harry Potter to the Princess Margaret, the Crown more recently. One time she had to play an alcoholic chain smoking a psychiatrist based in the 1970s, which was a Tim Burton film. And that's when I did that scent for her. She was like, she'd turn up at 6 in the morning at Pinewood or wherever it was, and Johnny Depp was playing the lead, and he was like, bloody hell, he goes, you really have taken this role into, because you stink. He goes, what have you, if you've got a bottle of whiskey in your bag or something? And she's like, no, it's my personal private secret perfumer. And it actually remained secret. I wanted it to, I didn't want to go to the press, and we hadn't gone to the press for a whole 10 years, actually. We kept it a secret for quite some time. So it was, and then, ended up working Jude Law, Orlando Bloom, lots of people, as you know, and recently Austin Butler. This is quite nice work with all the young ones as well. So yeah, it is, it's exciting. And I suppose for them, it's when they know, lots of people can get into method acting and get a fragrance and everything else, but it's very much getting one that is exactly the right thing for them. And that's very important to them, because it's just like styling them in fashion. They have to be wearing, the right clothing that suits the character. And I do the same in terms of the character and style. So it was great that I sort of coined that, I suppose, in the industry. And it's a great bespoke business for us now as well.
I mean, I love the idea of just spraying on a scent and then suddenly like embodying a character. I mean, what do you think the connection is between fragrance and sort of personal expression?
Well, I think it means a lot. It's a very powerful tool, the sense of smell. And I think people don't realize how powerful it is. It's a sense that you can't see or touch, but you can feel. So it's very emotional, and it really can affect the mood that you are either in or you want to get into or you want to get out of as well. So, I mean, I remember our sales went up during the pandemic, but it can. You know, if you sort of think, God, I'm really not feeling like I'm going to the Fashion Awards, for example, tonight, and I'm not feeling it's a Monday night. I'm, you know,
We're
it's
saying
really
it's a strange night to have
that,
ceremony.
yeah. So what fragrance am I going to wear? I'm going to wear my Sequoia Wood because that absolutely makes me feel confident. Everyone, I get millions of comments when I wear it.
It's a
And
beautiful
it's
scent.
an event that you want to get everyone going, wow, you smell great, you smell amazing, because it then boosts your confidence, doesn't it? And a lot of my perfumes have been created in a way to get that reaction, because for me, it's all about bringing joy into people's lives. And, you know, I get hundreds of comments like a day, in fact, more on TikTok now. We launched on TikTok a couple of months ago. And it's amazing how people's lives change through, you know, changing their fragrance to Amber Molecule, one of mine, or C, or you know, and the stories you get, what it does to you. But it really can affect the way that you are and character, and can transform you as well in so many different ways. You can also be hidden if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Just depends on how you feel. And I suppose that's where I kind of come into it, you know, to help people guide them into finding their signature fragrance.
And you were on a panel that I hosted a few weeks back now about the future of fragrance being feminist. I'd love to get a bit more like about what you think of that. Like, what is the kind of, do you think that fragrance is like a real tool of feminist empowerment, like following on from what you just said?
Yeah, I had so much fun, by the way, at Paris. You did such
Oh,
a
me
great
too.
job.
It was so lovely
It
ha
was
having
really
the
lovely. You
others
should do
kind
more. You should actually do more of them in a
of love
massive
to.
way. I think it's a great idea. Yeah, I mean, interestingly enough, when I started in the industry, it was very much a male world. The fragrance industry is not, everyone thinks it's very female, actually, but it isn't. I was like one of the very few female British, even. Perfumers around. I was training in France quite a lot, and you know, they're all French male, and I was the only female there, and it was quite intimidating to start with, I have to say. And it's hard because, you know, don't forget, in those days, you really have to kind of work 10 times harder, I think, than men do to kind of get noticed, or to sort of get your foot through the door in certain places. But I think that at the end of the day, I think perfume also can help empower you in a way where you can sort of, you know, once you know how fragrance and smell works, I think weirdly enough, I think strangely and kind of secretly, it sort of empowered me with different meetings, and I enjoy seeing how where it can go as well. But it is, it's you know, it's very much a and it still is a very much male-driven world, but you know, women are getting there, and there's a lot of women founders in the beauty industry, not in only in the beauty industry, in all industries, in fact, now. But only because they're you know, it wasn't a female-driven entity at all.
And I love how kind of sex and sensuality plays such a key role in your work. I think sort of Agent Provocateur was perhaps maybe the jumping off point, and then it's kind of been a sort of recurring theme, would you say? Would you say that in terms of like female sexuality, like the way that you approach it is maybe a bit different from the traditional kind of male gaze sex sells approach that has dominated the perfume industry for decades, like up until recently?
Yeah, I mean, still in advertising, it's very much kind of, you know, you can see the advertising that everyone does. It's very much focused on girl meets boy, and you know, boy meets girl, and if you're wearing that fragrance, you're going to get your man, etc. And I think the thing with fragrance is that there's so much more intelligence around perfume and the sense of smell and how you smell, that it goes much more deeper than, you know, God, I'm gonna get laid tonight. I don't.
Yeah.
I
There are
think
some
we've kind of
fragrances
proven.
called like panty droppers in America, they call them, because it's, I think the Paco
Yeah.
Rabanne was referred to as that, which
Yeah. Well,
is
even Gwyneth Paltrow did something, didn't she? Said it smells of a vagina
vagina.
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Which I couldn't think of anything worse. And it's so it's you see that it's just to sell it, you know, it's like a marketing thing. If
Yeah.
we, you know, and it's kind of I don't know. I mean, I think I'm it's not that I'm, you know, I'm not sort of I hate all those gimmicky type, you know, slogans, I suppose, as such. I think it's very much, I think if you can try and, I mean, perfume does kind of arouse other people. And you're not going to choose your partner if they don't smell good, but you don't need to
Yeah.
smell necessarily, you don't need to sell it in terms of selling sex. You know, you can sell it in a, I think consumers are getting much more intelligent about what they're buying, how, what perfume means to them, etc. And I think they kind of want to smell more unique and individual and express themselves for who they are rather than what sex they are and how sexy they are, etc. I don't think it's going to I don't think it works so much like it used to in that fashion at all.
And I think in terms of just female sexuality, it's just the way perfumes like yours are kind of coming out and being a bit more nuanced and looking at kind of the more animalic side to sexuality, as opposed to kind of smelling pretty and clean and all of those other things, because yeah, we
Yeah.
are a lot more say dirtier and complex than perhaps traditional marketing would have us believe.
No, exactly. I mean, my favorite signature fragrance is Sequoia Wood, and I because I don't like fruity, floral, sweet fragrances, which is the, you know, the usual kind of, oh, you know, the sexy woman has got to be wear that fruity, floral, sweet kind of, you know,
Yeah.
powerful scent. Whereas my ones actually, it's I want to be sensual, but not in the pretty kind of sweet, sticky way. And it's fresh, but it's woody and it's very sensual. And you go in, it's in, but it smells so different to anything else out there that it opens a different world in terms of how people then see you. And it's really it's and I you know the comments that I get and I still get I've worn it for years now. Yeah, it's you know it resonates with others because I think sometimes if you smell something that isn't the same as what's out there in the marketplace or smells like a duty free or department store, then you're gonna feel much more like you're being noticed.
No, that makes complete sense. And also, when it comes to kind of storytelling, like how did, because your brand is called the Perfumer's Story, so how did all of that kind of come about and follow on from the work you were doing sort of previously when you were doing more kind of private bespoke scents?
Yeah, I think I've always kind of been about storytelling. I mean, for me, my whole brand, my life is about storytelling, and with all my perfumes and fragrances that I do, whether it's bespoke or the collection itself, each fragrance tells a story. So you've got, you know, that each one is a different character and style. You know, Twisted Iris is very, it's bohemian with a touch of vintage, fun loving, you know, likes clubbing, but also loves going to the countryside. And then you've got, you know, Fever 54, which is a bit more glamorous, a bit more sort of think Studio 54, I guess, and bringing out a bit more the hedonistic side of you. And I think still, you know, storytelling is something that I don't think, you know, journalists always ask me, you know, you've always got so many stories to tell, you know, with actors or with your artists or even with the hotels and clubs that I work with as well. And that's the thing, I don't think I'll ever run out in telling stories because everybody I meet that's new has got a new story. You know, they've all got something new to say. So, and then if I'm working on a new bespoke private client, then I'll be telling their story, which is not going to be like anything else that I've done before. So that they, so it becomes their own legend. You know, it's their life story, but sort of in a DNA scent print, I suppose.
And what do you think fragrance is so effective at being that medium for storytelling? Like, what do you think it is about it? Is it because it sort of has that real connection with nostalgia and other elements of our kind of emotional lives?
Yeah, I mean, you know, perfume and scent is very evocative, and it does it holds so many memories. It holds 1,000 memories in a way. Sometimes you can smell something and think, God, I can't smell that because it takes me back to something that was terrible in their lives, maybe, or
Yeah.
it can bring them back to something that was absolutely wonderful or a loss. You know, there's so many kind of doors that it opens in the brain, and it's really interesting. In fact, I worked with Helena one time, and she was playing Nigel Slate. It was a film about Nigel Slater, you know, the chef,
Yeah.
and true story actually, where it's I think you know his stepmother had something to do with his father's death, and she was playing him, and she said, "Oh, Azzy, can you do me the scent of her?" And then she called me up on a Sunday, and she goes, "Oh my God, I've got to call you. I just got to call you immediately." She said, "Because you know Nigel was supposed to come around for Sunday lunch day, and he came in, and I was wearing the fragrance, and he literally just he gave me a hug and went, oh, he went mad. He goes, what are you wearing? Why are you wearing that?" She goes, and he stormed off and didn't stay for lunch because you know the
Oh
smell
my gosh.
it haunted him. It was so like
Yeah.
he thought she was in the room, and he
Incredible.
she and it was so powerful in that way. And she said, "It's brilliant. It's great. It's brilliant, brilliant for me for the role. I love it." You know, and that she needs to play the role, so that worked. And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but the lunch didn't work out." She goes, "Oh, it's fine. Don't worry. We'll make it up."
Yeah, I'm guessing he recovered and they managed to continue on
Yes,
with making
exactly.
the film.
Yes, but no, it can really resonate in so many different ways. With you know, with memory, the olfactive, and also just triggering off different kind of emotions within yourself as well. And you can smell certain things. Some and also, you know, people also it's very subjective. You might love a scent, but then others might not as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. And things, you know, that like, I don't know, like oud or sandalwood or something like that can be quite polarizing, and some people are really drawn to it, and other people are just like, no,
Oh, yeah,
not for you.
no, exactly.
How do you go about creating a scent for a character? Because it's obviously, it must be very different from creating like a bespoke scent when you've got the person in front of you, but this is kind of a character that somebody is creating. So how is that process different?
Well, you know, it's kind of similar in a way. It's, you know, it's always like a bit like a fun therapy session, I call it. But I know I work with the actors directly. They usually come here to my studio, and you know, we talk about the role, the script. Sometimes we meet with the directors as well. And when I recently worked with Jude Law in the, don't know if you've seen the film Firebrand, where he
No, I
plays
haven't
Henry.
not yet.
Yeah, I mean, that did cause a big stir in the press, actually, all over the news and TV, etc., because he had to smell of Jude didn't smell very great because he plays Henry VIII towards the end of his life, and you know he's suffering from gout, and so he's smelling of pus and poo and blood and sick, and you know it's quite vile, really.
And he
So
must have managed to have six wives. That's incredible.
yes, well, you know, he was the king, wasn't he? So.
Yeah, I guess that is a draw.
Yeah, so it's sometimes not only you know how it affects them as an actor, but also how it affects the other actors on set. So and that was the whole idea of that particular film that I worked on, and with Jude especially, was it wasn't even one set that I did. I ended up doing five in the end. Which so you know we talked through exactly what it is. They have to be real. It's not they're going to smell great, you know. Oh, Henry wore a nice cologne. Now, Henry never did wear a nice cologne. He liked the smell of rose, actually. So Henry had a smell of rose in his handkerchief, whilst all the other kind of, you know, his servants and everyone else were having to gag, smelling the him rotting away over the
So grim. So
years.
you created a scent that was kind of that pus and excrement and all
Yeah,
of that.
different notes of all of that, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so when you work with just with bespoke clients, how is kind of how does that process sort of happen? What is the kind of things that you ask them? Like is there a kind of list of set questions, or is it more just improvisational, like you just meet them and then kind of go from there?
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes, you know, if I'm working with brands or fashion brands, etc., then it'll be telling their story of, you know, what the fashion brands is, looking at the heritage, looking at the styling, the character, and everything else, how they want their consumers to feel and think, etc. And the same thing is when I'm working with an individual. So, say I was doing a fragrance for yourself, you know, we would be talking about your life, you know, growing up. all the things that you're interested in, everything. But also in, there's everyone has two personalities as well. You've got one on the outside, you have one on the inside. And my job is to kind of bring the two together. So because you don't want to invite everyone on the inside on day one, it's
No.
you have, the people that are close to you come on the inside. But you don't you but you want to have a fragrance that you can resonate to your close people. To the people that you love and you're close to, but also as an everyday fragrance, new people that you meet wherever you go. So, I mean, sometimes people want to have a wardrobe of fragrances because that's the character they are. And
Yeah.
sometimes I just want to have one signature fragrance that I absolutely love, and that's it. And it can be quite hard. I mean, when I work with actually Cindy Crawford's Bespoke, which Randy, her husband, did for her 50th birthday, and it was a surprise. So I ended up doing that on the phone with him. He's in LA. He wanted me to go out there, but I just didn't have time because it had to all be done within like a month.
Yeah.
So
Quite
but
tall order, I
again,
imagine.
it was, but luckily he really knows her. They're very close. He knows her extremely well. He was brilliant. And I mean, the only downside of it is that she hated fragrance and never wore it and didn't like it. So it was
Oh
that
gosh.
was what was
How the
challenging.
hell did you approach that then, if that's
But
kind of the
it's just, there'll be some people. I mean, Helena calls me the White Witch. Some people call me the Wizard. Then I think someone's calling me the Psychic. I don't know. You just kind of maybe something that you I have, mind read, but you can. I did that. You just kind of, I feel it, and then you sort of just can see it. And I visualize everything, and then sort of always can smell everything, and then I have the journey to get to that scent itself in terms of creating it for them, which tells their story. But as I'm creating it, I'm kind of telling their story as they're speaking as well to me.
Yeah. So what was that? Are you allowed to tell us a bit about what the end result of that was like?
Yeah, her fragrance smells. I mean, it's just for her. It's not sold anywhere. It's beautiful. It's very it's sensual. But you can't really pick out what ingredients are even in there. It's almost like skin on skin. So it's very sophisticated. Leaves a lovely trail as she walks past, and but it's not too strong either. And it's very Cindy. It smells very rich as well, and it's expensive.
I mean, you said it was for a 50th birthday. Do you think that there are scents like that, the way, the types of perfumes we wear when we get older changes to depending on like what you would design for like a younger woman, perhaps?
Yeah, sometimes, but not necessarily always, because I hate to put age and gender on fragrances,
Same.
actually.
I think I ask it in more in terms of kind of celebrating like older women and like, when we get to our 50s, it's,
Yeah.
I mean that, that life carries on and that we can sort of celebrate entering
Oh God,
this new chapter.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of 50 plus, they're big buyers of fragrance. Yeah, I think that, by then they kind of know it's a finishing touch, and they sort of probably may even have their signature fragrance by then. But yeah, some people want, but also at the same time, they may have gone through divorce or they're, changing their life in some way, and they don't want to be wearing the same fragrance they have been wearing. So I get a lot of custom through that where they want to have a completely different scent that doesn't remind them of whoever it is or that life. So
Yeah.
it just depends on where you are and what your story is as well. And sort of, and then it's up to me to take it as an individual case
Yeah.
study. Is yeah.
I was thinking it would be so cool if you were to create like a scent for Pamela Anderson, given like how kind of her life story's been and the sort of stage in her career that she's at now. I think
Yeah.
that would be really
Oh,
fascinating.
I think, yeah, I think I could do a really good one for Pamela Anderson, actually. Definitely. She'd
Yeah.
love it. Yeah, we need to get
Yeah.
together with Pamela Anderson. She might be there tonight. I don't know. We'll see.
You never know. Do you have any other kind of dream clients who you haven't yet created perfumes for, but you'd really like to?
Who would I like to do? I'd like to do so many people, I think. I'd love to do Leonardo DiCaprio, actually. I think that will happen. Brad Pitt is also on the list. I think they'll be great. Female-wise, I think I'd love to see Julia Roberts. She's such a great actor. Nicole Kidman was actually fabulous. I love her. She'd be quite hard, I think, probably to do, maybe. I'm not sure. But yes, I think, in terms of the Hollywood side of things. And I think it'd be great to do one for Princess Kate Middleton as well. It would be great.
Yeah, I mean,
Because
do
I
you think
think she wears this, that, and the other, but I don't think she actually has a
Yeah.
one, but yeah.
She'd be a really cool one to do. I think, do you think people's fragrances get more interesting as they get older and like the way they kind of present themselves?
Yeah, I think they sort of think about it more intelligently, and they don't go by the brand name, but they go by how it makes them feel and then how it makes others feel around them. So they're getting the kind of the true I think they're getting the true value of a perfume as well. I think they also might be fed up of trying so many fragrances, being given, you know, when you get given a fragrance and it's just the, you know, you might like the brand name, but the perfume doesn't smell anything like what you think it's going to smell like. And that's why it's easier with my, you know, with my the Perfumer Story collection, based on fragrances, which is character and style rather than family, you know, the family notes. Are you a green floral fruity person, or floriental chypre?
Person, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think many people understand what that means. And so when I sort of, you know, started this sort of new kind of avenue in perfume, which makes it easier for you to choose a fragrance, you can go online, actually. I don't know if you've been online. I've got AIZZ, my robot, AI robot, on my website, which is mapped on my brain, so you can it helps you to choose a fragrance that's either for yourself or your mother or someone for Christmas, so that you can actually get a perfume gift to them and they're like, oh my God, it's right, it's exactly what I like, I love it. And that works. I mean, I get so many comments actually after Christmas where they said, oh, I tried, you know, your AI robot to see which fragrance would work to get for my family, you know, and they put all their different characters and styles in because they know them, of course, and then it diagnosed them with all the ones they said, oh, they all loved them. It was great, rather than, you know, buying the usual Chanel number 5 or whatever it is.
I mean, do you think that a lot of kind of traditional fragrance houses and marketing companies, they're kind of missing a trick when it comes to talking about their scents and marketing them? Because as you say, like the fragrance families, I guess it's useful in a way, but it feels so outdated. You're right. And do you think that, you know, the fragrance industry has a long way to go when it comes to kind of sophisticatedly sort of selling the, you know, sort of educating the consumers about the different types of scents that are out there and what would suit them?
Yeah, I think it is. It's hard because you have to really understand the sort of psychology of how, you know, fragrance work. And I suppose that's why my bespoke business is doing so well, because you're giving that extra you know, help and treatment to people that really kind of want to have a fragrance that actually really does resonate with them and suits them, because they spend so much money on trying to find a fragrance that they still can't find. And, you know, and it's hard to smell in the store sometimes, because there's so many different fragrances around. It's like going into a bubble of kind of mille fleurs in a way.
Yeah, no, sure.
So yeah, and I think a lot of companies are trying to address that as well. I'm sure they are, you know, which is probably the right thing to do. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely 100% needed, because it's just a saturated marketplace.
I mean, I was chatting to Millie Kendall, who came on the podcast a few weeks ago,
Yeah.
and we were talking about how kind of women past a certain age are really sort of overlooked and undercatered for by the beauty industry. I mean, do you think that's an issue with fragrance in particular, when it comes to marketing, creating fragrances and marketing them towards women who are perhaps over the age of 30?
Yeah, I think so a lot, because I think they're sort of stuck in the sort of, you know, the ages where they haven't really caught up with the way that the rest of the market's moving. Not necessarily the fragrance market, but, you know, music, film, fashion, etc. And I think it's kind of very stuck in the old-fashioned ways of thinking and systems in place, and everything's run by the marketing teams, and they have, you know, fragrance testing that they're doing, and etc. But I think it's all about listening to the consumer, and not only just people in the fragrance industry or the beauty industry, but in every industry, because our customers are every, you know, is everybody. And it's listening to people, because when you get certain ages, you're changing as a person, and you're going through different, you know, times in life, through menopause, you've had children, you know, you've gone through, you know, loss or whatever it is. There's some sort of traumas that may have happened. And, you know, fragrance is something that can really help with going through all these things. if you allow it to. But if you just kind of follow the trends, oh, it's all about oud, or it's all about pink peppercorn, or whatever it is, then I mean, it's just kind of going around in circles, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm guessing you're not a huge fan of fragrance trends, or do you kind of ever take them into consideration in your work?
No, I mean, I think, it's for me a fragrance trend. What does a fragrance trend? What is it exactly? I mean, the industry fragrance trends, it's all about like ingredients are in, it's all about rose, or it's all about oud, and then it's all about whatever it is. And you have to understand that it doesn't really logically make any sense, because a fragrance formulation has got lots of ingredients in there. So if you take rose, for example, now you've got Pretty Little Rose, and I've got in my Fever 54, there's rose in there, but the fragrance, it's a dark sensual fragrance, because when rose comes together with, say, saffron and oud and some woody notes, it becomes a bit more dark and dangerous. So it's not really about necessarily, for me, the trend of the ingredients. It goes back to the storytelling that I'm doing through my perfumes, and it's making it life easier for whatever age that you are, or whatever, gender you are, to see if that character and style is resonating with who they are as a person, because they're wearing the finished fragrance. And sometimes you smell it, and there's a hundred other ingredients in there, as well as rose and oud and pink peppercorn, whatever it is.
For sure.
I keep saying pink peppercorn, but I don't know why. I think I've obviously seen it around a lot.
It's cropped up quite a bit, isn't it, in the last sort of decade or so.
Yeah, couldn't think of anything worse, smelling of a pink peppercorn, but anyway.
And it's interesting, like when you think of like the kind of recent sort of spate of celebrity scents, i.e. sort of like fragrances that have the celebrity as the face of that scent, and a lot of them are kind of sugary and sweet and kind of aimed at that kind of younger market, and then contrast it with what you do. It's a very kind of stark contrast. I mean, do you see that kind of sort of celebrity trend sort of dwindling now, that sort of people are kind of wanting to smell a bit different and not like their favorite celebrity or like anyone else?
Yeah, I think it depends on who it is as well, really, because I think the sort of the trend of celebrity fragrances where, it kind of goes down the high street or mass market, suddenly, it can appeal to different sort of areas in, different groups of people, I suppose. And you can get some, I think people are very much excited about celebrity, but sort of more about what they're wearing. But they don't necessarily want to. It's not necessarily, do we want to have a, do, you know, just because I love Beyonce's music doesn't mean I'm going to wear Beyonce's perfume. But there'll be some people who would love to wear Beyonce's fragrance. So there is a market for celebrity. I think there's always going to be a market for celebrity fragrances. But it's a different kind of market place. And as long as a celebrity does a fragrance that actually resonates who they are, rather than dictated by a big fragrance company that's telling them, we know the marketplace, we know what the trends are, and we should do this, otherwise no one's going to buy it. Because the whole reason why they're buying in the first place, because of celebrity, not because of the company behind it.
No, exactly. And it's like you worked on a few of them yourself. Did you work on the scent for One Direction? Is that right?
I did JLS, actually.
JLS.
Yeah, and it was before social media was even out, and I think they sold out in 3 minutes. I mean, it was
Wow.
ridiculous. It was incredible, and I think it went to it was sold in the because it's young, but it was young fragrance, mass market fragrance. It was sold at the perfume shop, I think, and I think their whole website went over.
Yeah. And how was
Yeah.
that creation process different from like when you work with a sort of one-on-one celebrity client?
Actually, that was a great one. I think it was good because they did a lot of TV on it, and I based it on the so I based it because there's five of them in JLS. So I met with them. So it was so then that was really, so it wasn't so much the big company doing it and saying dictating these are the trends and everything else. It was very much getting them involved in the fragrance and taking each of their personalities, which makes the pop band up, because they're all quite different. One sort of does all the dancing, the other one's a bit more romantic. It's quite interesting. So I put their characters as the main accords in the fragrance. So the story was great, and they really—that's why I think it, and it sold out before it was even out there.
Amazing. And I think if it's a beautiful scent, it's a beautiful scent. Like I got a sample of Khloe Kardashian's first sort of solo scent, and you know, people love them or hate to say what you like about them, but it's a beautiful perfume, and I
Yeah,
would
that's
happily
true.
wear it. Not because I necessarily want to smell like Khloe Kardashian, but I just like the perfume, and it's very
Yes.
slippy, and you know, if it happened to smell similar to her, then so be it. But it's a nice scent.
Exactly. I think if it's a great perfume and people love it, then they don't care. Remember, Davidoff Cool Water was done by a cigarette company, you
Yeah.
know, and it's one of the biggest, well, still is, I think, one of the most iconic fragrances around. So it's because everyone, you know, they're like, wow, it smells great. People loved it. They wanted more of it.
Yeah. But I imagine that when you actually create a scent for a celebrity, it's a very different sort of story than if you're creating it inspired by said celebrity.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think I also believe that if I'm doing a fragrance, then, you know, and it's premium prestige end, I'm lucky because I can spend a lot of money on my formulations and put the ingredients I want to put into my formulations myself, because I'm not having to pay for, you know, the big marketing ad campaigns and everything else that actually take up most of the money. So they spend more money on that than rather than actually on the juice itself. So I think if you've got my fragrance that I'm gonna do, you know, they smell expensive, they smell rich, they smell different and unique, and they smell special in that way. Like you've never smelled something like that before. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of actors just wear my collection of fragrances. And sometimes they don't want to have their own bespoke. Some of them do, but not all of them do. Some of them just say, God, I just in love with C, I'm just gonna wear that one. And they'll buy 50 bottles of old books or whatever it is. So they take them everywhere. So they'll have one in the car, one in all their houses. You'll be amazed.
You know, that's what I love about the perfumer stories, that your scents have real character and they have that kind of nuance and depth to them that I don't think the mainstream perfume market really can, you know,
No.
it doesn't compete. You know what I mean? It's very
No.
competitive. And do you see
Exactly.
that ever kind of changing at all? That thing, you know, is the tide
Yeah.
moving in that sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like to do more with the consumer directly as well. We launched on TikTok, and you know, we're quite big now on TikTok as a fragrance brand is because I talk to people on videos, and we've got so many videos of actors and people here as well. Sorry, I've got a bit of a cold, as you can see,
Oh,
but
I've got this. I've got a really bad cough at the
oh,
moment. So
God, isn't it?
that time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think it'd be more of me doing sort of more things in store with consumers, so that it's good to teach and teach as much as you can about helping them to how to choose fragrances and everything in a way that actually makes sense, rather than a marketing tool that, you know, that someone's dictated to you that you think makes sense, because otherwise it's just going down another nonsense road, isn't it?
Definitely. And obviously, like perfume talk, as they call it, is just huge at the moment. Like TikTok has really kind of sort of changed the landscape where fragrance is concerned. Would you agree with that? That
I think
it's
it
kind
really has, yeah. I
of.
mean, it's amazing how the difference between TikTok and, say, Instagram is for sales for us. I mean, it's basically gone, you know, it's over 50% up because of TikTok. And I think it's much a bigger audience. I mean, the first video, well, we launched on TikTok, got over 750,000 views, over 350 comments, and I don't know, 70,000 likes or something, I don't know, whatever it was. But you know, and it keeps going in that way, and they still get comments even on today. And you know, it's a great way of, because they'll ask questions, they think, oh God, wow, I never even realized about that's how it works, or you know, it's they feel that they're talking to somebody directly. It's like a store, basically, they're speaking directly to the experts. And I think that's something that we're doing as a brand, or I'm doing, you know, me and my team do as a brand, that makes sense, it's logical, but it's giving the consumers what they want as well. And because I've created the fragrances with all of that in mind, it's easy to do. You can't do it the other way around. You can't just suddenly say, oh, well, if I chose five fragrances on the marketplace, which character and style of that? None of them would be, unless you wanted to, you know, make it up.
And when you obviously, because given how kind of personal and intimate fragrance is, I imagine when you create a bespoke fragrance for somebody, it's a very kind of intimate thing. So Imagine them working with like an A-lister must be like you've got that extra layer of kind of expectation because this is somebody in the public eye. Like a lot of people like think they know them, but they don't. So is that kind of nerve-wracking or intimidating in that sense?
Yeah, sometimes it can be. Sometimes you can be a bit starstruck, but not really. I think, a lot of them they're so nice and really humble and very kind, actually. But also they've got intelligence and they've got well researched. So sometimes it's easier to have conversations around the subject. And I think what helps with me, I think having worked with so many A-listers or celebrities or Hollywood actors or musicians or artists, and then you have a reputation roster of that, people then feel more comfortable coming to me because they know that I've worked with all kind of most difficult people out there, or they imagine to be the most difficult people out there. And in some regards, that is kind of true, but also in some regards, they're just all the same as us as well, sort of mums making a living.
I
Or
imagine that they can be very kind of guarded, or they're used to kind of fiercely protecting their privacy. So how do you coax them into kind of opening up to you and being a bit more personal and vulnerable
yes.
in that sense?
Well, they are. They're very, they don't trust a lot of people and everything else. And I think, I don't really know how that works, but it just seems to work somehow. They meet me and it kind of just, I suppose it's all about the energies, isn't it? And how you feel when you meet people. And I think a lot of them are actually very good at working that out because they meet so many people and they get trained to be what they should say and what they shouldn't say and who to be aware of and who not to be aware of, that they're already kind of can feel it. So, I think, which makes my, I think, situation easier in a way because I have relationships with so many people over the years. I mean, it's not like I'm new to it, but and I think having worked with on fragrances and created fragrances that some of them grew up with as well, like Agent Walter or Jasper Conrad, etc. I think that it kind of really does, in a way, it makes it easier for individuals to then think, right, okay, I'm going to get my bespoke made by her, or a hotel saying I want her to come and create the smell of my hotel because she's already done, the hard ones, or she knows what she's doing in that way. So if they're going to spend the money, then I think that's the other thing, because you sort of want to spend money that that it's in good hands and you're going to get the value that you want out of it. It's a bit like when they choose, makeup artists or photographers. They'd rather go to people that they know that are good, that they've got a good reputation, they've got a great portfolio, and everything else, because they don't have the time to research it or even, do that, because they've got their own careers and lives to sort of to deal with. So everyone's got less time as we go on. It seems like it's just less and less and less. So I suppose in a way it makes my life easier and better, but at the same time, it can be challenging. It always can be challenging.
I can imagine. And where do you see kind of the future of the industry? Do you think that people are going towards sort of wearing something that is a bit more unique and bespoke as opposed to just grabbing another bottle of Chanel number 5, or smelling like their favorite celebrity?
Yeah, I think it's already going very much in that way, and I think, the biggest sector of the beauty industry is the fragrance industry, and actually the biggest growing sector in the fragrance industry is the niche perfumers, niche perfumery brands. And I obviously am the niche perfumer and I own my brand, and I think it's because I think consumers are getting much more intelligent about what they're buying, like what people are getting more intelligent about what they're eating, what they're putting on their skin. They know what works on their skin and what doesn't work on their skin. And I think that is going down through the generations as well. So it's that kind of dominoes effect, which will soon become much more of a bigger identity than where it was. 100%, it's definitely going towards my, our way of thinking of what we're saying. And but don't forget, I was thinking like that 25 years ago when I launched Agent
Yeah, you're
Property.
one of the trailblazers, really.
Right at the beginning, and everyone else was going, "What the hell?" And and that was a gamble that I took to go against the trends and do something that had never been done before. It could have been a complete flop, but for me, it was the only thing that made sense. So I'd rather that and fail than just do something that everyone else is doing to make a quick buck.
Definitely. And it's all about that longevity, isn't it? Of like your brand sort of success. And yeah, as I say, like you said, like taking a risk and doing something different, that's the only way that things are going to change.
No, exactly. I think it'd be nice for, I think, the industry, because they're, I know everyone wants to make money, everything else, which is good. I mean, I want to make money. We all want to do that. We all want to kind of help others and the next generations to keep things going for longer and longer and longer. But it's how it's kind of breaking the systems that they've got to grow the companies that are going to be the jewels of the crown, or to get to scaling businesses up to a level where the audience is going to be more globally identified rather than just local markets as well.
And what's next for you in terms of the perfumer story and any other kind of new and exciting projects you've got coming up?
So we've got lots of exciting projects on. We want to, so we're looking at scaling the business up internationally, retail, not only in Europe, but also going across North America, Middle East, Far East. But also the bespoke side of the business is booming, especially on the hospitality side with hotels. We're working on, I don't know, about six new hotels and clubs, actually more than that, but well,
Fantastic.
six new massive projects on that end. We're also working with a few big things, which is part of the perfumer story, to do with the film world as well. So, which I can't talk about, but that's really exciting. But yeah, we are. I mean, I can't wait for the future. I'm very excited. I love life, and it's good, and it's going to be really interesting to, bring a bit of drama into the retail world and into the industry, visually and also, through social media as well as in store. So yeah, definitely watch the space is what we're going to be doing, but I'm very excited about it.
No, it sounds very exciting, and yeah, I can't wait to hear what you create next. But thank you so much, Azzy, for
Thank
joining me. I really
you so much,
appreciate it.
Fiona. Love talking to you anytime.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. All links will be in the show notes, and feel free to visit smartbeautycreative.com or visit us over on Instagram to find out more about what we do. And if you enjoyed listening, please don't forget to rate and review Smart Beauty on iTunes, as it helps people find us. See you next time.